This is Dr. John Bergman. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to be talking about vaccines, but also how the immune system works. Now, we could be talking about religion and politics, but vaccines are the most taboo subject that you could possibly imagine. People are so passionate about this, even though they don't know what's going on or how it actually works. And you've been taught that vaccines are safe and effective, and vaccines have protected us from disease, and people that don't vaccinate are actually spreading disease, and it's those unvaccinated people that are responsible for these massive outbreaks. Well, we're going to cut through that crap and go through and deal with facts, so that you can actually make an informed decision regarding the health of your children. Not whether to get them into school or not school, or what the authorities are saying and what actually is. Because as facts go, we have the sickest population of children the world's ever seen. Now children are gold. They're our source of our future. Now, currently in the U.S., 50% of U.S. children have a chronic illness or disease. That's one in two. 21% of our children, that's almost a quarter of them, are developmentally disabled. And this is our future. Okay, the current rate of autism, and this is a very difficult figure to come up with. When you look at all the data, the current rate of autism is 1 in 45 according to the CDC. Okay, that's 1 in 45. Now, they're checking 10-year-olds, so, and it keeps going up every year. If you look at the current onset of autism, which is about 18 to 24 months old, the rate is about 1 in 18. And so it's, this isn't just out there statistic. This is where we're literally losing a generation. So are vaccines part of that destruction? Well, let's take a chill pill, sit back, and we're going to actually go over the stack of facts and data. For one, when you ask the average mom, okay, or the average parent, or the average grandparent, they'll say ignorant stuff. And there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. Obviously, you're going to find out that the doctors that are injecting our kids with these vaccines or these injectable drugs are also ignorant on the effect it has on the body. And they're taught in school that vaccines are safe and effective, except when they're not. And so I want to walk through exactly what a vaccine is, exactly the risk of disease, and the risk of the vaccine, because of the risk of the vaccine is greater than the risk of the disease, or if there are healthier ways to keep your children healthy, then great, because right now, doing our current modern methods, one in two children have a chronic illness or disease, 21% are developmentally disabled. Checking 10-year-olds, one in 45 have autism. Autism, and we're not talking about the thousands with the gastrointestinal disorders, the thousands with allergies. Heck, they have peanut-free days at the ballpark now because of so many allergies to peanuts. So first, let's go over the number of vaccines that children get today. Then just how many they get. Now, when you look at birth, we're one of the only countries in the world that at 12 hours old, they get a hepatitis B shot. Now, is that effective? Are they at risk of hepatitis B? What's the risk of the shot? Well, let's just go over the number of shots they get. And then we're going to go through and explore the risk of hepatitis B and the risk of not getting the shot. Because the schedule is 38 shots by the time they're 18 months old. That's right. they're going to get a hepatitis B shot at 12 hours old. Then you bring them back for the well baby check. At 2 months old, they get a diphtheria shot, a tetanus shot, a pertussis shot, a polio shot, an HHIB shot, a rotavirus shot, another hepatitis B shot, and a PCV shot. That's at 2 months. Then you bring them back another 2 months later. They get another diphtheria shot, another tetanus shot, another pertussis shot, another polio shot, another HIB shot, another rotavirus shot, another PCV shot. 2 months later, you bring them back and you get another diphtheria shot. Yes, that's the third diphtheria shot. You get another tetanus shot. Yes, that's the third tetanus. You get another pertussis shot. Again, this is at 6 months old. They've already had three of these. A third polio shot at 6 months old. Another rotavirus shot. Yes, that's the third one. Okay, and another hepatitis B shot, another PCV shot. And now we're injecting them with influenza. Then they come back at 7 months. They get another influenza shot. Then they come back for their 18-month shot. And yes, yes, they get the fourth diphtheria shot, the fourth tetanus shot, the fourth pertussis shot, the first measles shot, the first mumps shot, the first rubella shot, the third HIB shot, the fourth PCV shot. Now we're going to give them varicella and hepatitis A. Yeah, that's 38 injectable drugs in your child by 18 months. By 6 years of old age, they've received 49 doses of injectable drugs, 49 doses of 14 vaccines by the time they're six. By the time they're 18 years old, the child today will receive 69 doses of injectable drugs of 16 different vaccines. And there are no animal studies to show that this is safe. That's right. When we go through and you find out that the way drugs used to be tested, and that is not tested on vaccines. So this is an injectable drug that's not tested this way. But parents are under the delusion, and doctors are under the delusion, that vaccines are tested in a group of three. So what you would normally do, you would take a group of three groups. One group you would do a therapy to, and that means that you would inject 38 doses by the time they're 18 months old. Or, I don't know, let's do a real experiment. Okay, let's take a group of kids, six-year-olds. We're going to inject 49 doses of 14 different vaccines in one group of six-year-olds. Yeah, sign your kid up for that one. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, then you have a group of parents who are going to strengthen their child's immune system by, breastfeeding, healthy foods, organic foods, yogurt. Okay, you know, give them healthy foods, healthy exercise. Do all the things that we know that are proven to strengthen the immune system. And then a third group, you inject them with 49 doses of saline solution. Okay, by the time they're six, or something innocuous, something that won't have an effect on the body. And then let's follow those six-year-olds for, bring them up to 18 years old. We'll follow them for 12 years and see if the placebo group, okay, has less disease or more disease. Let's see if the control group that had nothing but healthy fruits and vegetables compared with the group that got the 49 doses of 14 different vaccines. Let's see their disease rate. Let's see if the group catches measles or catches polio or catches tetanus or catches hepatitis or catches influenza. Let's see if they have a higher disease rate. Wouldn't that be smart? It's almost like you've got these doctors and moms and dads, and they're doing these therapies by rote, just like machines. If you have 10 people in a room and all 10 people take one drug, are they going to have the same effect? The answer is no. So how could we expect multiple doses injected in a human being and expect them to have the same effect? So when I use the analogy of a car driving at 80 miles an hour into a block wall, that block wall is 100 feet away. So you got a couple of choices. You can stop, you can slow down, you can turn, or you could head into that block wall. Well, I'm telling you right now, America, with our children, 1 in 2 have a chronic illness or disease. By 2025, 1 in 2 will have autism. Virtually all the children that are getting injected with this, these drugs, they're going to have a bowel disorder. They're going to have behavioral disorders. They're going to have skin disorder. They're going to have breathing disorders. They're going to have allergies. Autism is just one of the most apparent ones because they lose social interaction. It used to be rare to see a 9-year-old in a stroller at a supermarket. Now it's so commonplace that it's considered as part of society. In the gym I go to, in front of the gym, they have a pediatric physical therapy building. Pediatric physical therapy? How could they have enough business to keep in business? Well, because we have the sickest kids ever. And let's look what happens. Now, the idea, see, in natural exposure, when you get naturally exposed to a virus, fungus, pathogen, when you get exposed to a pathogen, there's certain immune system responses you have. Now, never in nature, are you going to be exposed to diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, HIV, rotavirus, hepatitis B, and PCV in one day at 2 months old. That is impossible to get exposed to that many pathogens. So let's take a chill pill, get back out, step away from this insanity, and look at how the immune system works. And we're going to break it down into two aspects. We're going to look at long-term immunity and short-term protection. Now, long-term immunity, okay, this is called a Th1 response. And this is how the body has been working for millennia to keep our species protected. Now, in order for a Th1 response, you get exposed to a pathogen. Like, let's say you get exposed to pertussis, which whooping cough, or you get exposed to hepatitis, or you get exposed to measles or mumps. You get exposed through the nasal or oral mucosa. It's not injected into your skin, okay, into your muscles. It's not injected into your body. Okay, you get exposed through the mucous membranes, and you have an entire immune system there that's developed over thousands and thousands of years. Now, instantly, you have a Th1 response under normal viral or pathogenic exposure. Now, this develops, it's called both cellular and humoral immune system responses. And this Th1 response is kept healthy by a robust gut flora. And in your gut, in your intestinal tract, you have multiple pounds of bacteria. So don't be afraid of bacteria. You got to have bacteria-containing foods to keep a healthy immune system response. So you need this healthy gut flora. You need healthy mucous membranes. And what's amazing is you develop both a humoral and a cellular response. This way that you can mount a defense, kill the pathogen, and you hold that memory on to where you can pass this on to the next generation. And that's the beauty of it. Moms that actually got chickenpox, in my era, moms would get together and have chickenpox parties. Oh, look, Billy down the street. Hey, he's got chickenpox. Let's get him. Let's get together. And so we can have all of our kids have chickenpox. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't a deadly disease. It was like, cool, my kid will get sick for a couple of weeks and they're going to develop lifetime immunity and they're going to be fine. And let's get it over with during the summertime so they don't miss school. Honest to goodness, that's how it used to work. And then the parents would pass it on So when they gave birth to their children, that child would be protected through maternal memory. So if the mom got exposed to chickenpox, she's going to pass that resistance on to her child that would last and protect him through his younger years. Well, now we're coming up to something that, the medical institute, the medical cartel, didn't think about, or, you got a choice with this, okay? Either the medical cartel is completely ignorant about long-term effects of these injectable drugs, or they're absolutely evil and it's done with a purpose. I'm hoping that they're ignorant, because now we're ending up with a group of children who are not getting immunity from their moms because their moms didn't have exposure. So we're seeing the second generation of these children that are produced from parents who have had 69 doses of 16 different vaccines by the age of 18. And then they're going to get, the children, 69 doses of 16 different vaccines by 18. And then, yeah, I hate to say this, they're going to give birth to children that are going to get more than that. Because let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of vaccines in the works. So we need to look at how the immune system works. The Th1 response, which is a normal immune system response to a normal exposure to normal pathogens, this is how it works. You develop a humoral and cellular response. In some cases, you can develop lifetime immunity. In most cases, you can pass this genetic memory onto your kids, your offspring. What vaccines trigger is a totally different response. It's called a Th2 response. Now, a Th2 response, this is like wound punctures. It requires an immediate response. This is an acute inflammatory response. It's like getting stabbed with a splinter or a needle. Now, there's no lifetime immunity with this because immune system cells aren't built. They're just looking for things called antibodies. And antibodies, you get, how the immune system works is if you get a foreign protein injected into your system, so you're walking along, you get a splinter. That splinter is going to pierce the skin, get into the muscle or the veins or the lymph tissue. It's going to carry some bacteria or viruses in there. Your body recognizes those foreign proteins, the bacteria proteins, the viral proteins, and it's going to mount an acute inflammatory response. So it's going to create an inflammatory reaction, an inflammatory cytokine. Cytokines are cells. And this can cause a number of allergies and intolerances because your body is hypersensitizing for these foreign proteins that are injected. So the more inflammatory responses that you get, you're training the body to respond to the environment of inflammation. It's almost like we're training our children to develop a faster inflammatory response. Why? Because each time they get a foreign protein injected into their body, we're triggering a Th2 response. Now, here's the rub. The body is so brilliant at responding to viruses and bacteria. In fact, remember, you need bacteria on your skin. You need bacteria on your eyes. You need bacteria in your gut. Without bacteria, you die. We have a harmonious relationship with bacteria. Some doctors, some scientists, Nobel Prize winners are saying that your DNA is 50% viral, 50% viral. So we have a communication with our environment through bacteria and viruses. They're not the bad guys. Okay, this is how we build our immune system response and how we survive in our environment. This is how we build strength of immune system. So when you get injected with a vaccine that has viruses and bacteria, a lot of times your immune system won't recognize it as a pathogen. It just won't. So what we have to do is you have to mix adjuvants into that vaccine. And adjuvants are additives. Because normally, if you just inject a pertussis in your body, or a tetanus, or a diphtheria, okay, from a vaccine, your body's not going to react to it because we're used to dealing with viral or bacterial or pathogenic infections. So you have to put something in there to boost the immune system reaction to it. And those are called adjuvants. They use mercury or thimerosal in flu shots to stimulate that. They'll use aluminum, which is completely toxic and neurotoxic to the body, in almost all the other vaccines. They'll use squalene in some vaccines, which is a toxic derivative of olive oil. And this is actually part of Gulf War syndrome responses. So the adjuvants that they put in the vaccines are there to stimulate the immune system response. Because the way they measure vaccines' effectiveness is not through decrease in diseases. Because you can't inject someone with a hepatitis B and then dump a bucket full of hepatitis B virus over their body and see if they get sick or not. Okay, that's not how the system works. They inject a child with this, and they measure their antibody response. Now, the tough part is when you look at this, they're measuring antibodies. However, there's a genetic anomaly where children cannot produce antibodies. And this has been known for 50 years that these children, even though they can't produce antibodies, that they recover from disease in the same sequelae, in the same time frame that a child who can produce antibodies, they get over the disease at the same rate, at the same time, the same response. So we're measuring antibodies with the theory and the idea that the vaccines are going to trigger antibody production. Your body is going to produce antibodies, and if you have more antibodies, you're more protected from the wild acquiring of a pathogen. And if you have less antibodies, you're more vulnerable, and it's harder for you to mount immune system response to a pathogen. So their data that they're using to measure if vaccines are effective on the production of antibodies is completely false data in the first place. And then, because if you have a lot of antibodies, you are still at risk of getting disease. And if you have few antibodies, you have no more or no less risk of mounting an infection. See, the whole idea is to give, and this is the idea of vaccines, is to give a little bit of the pathogen when you're healthy. You build an immune system response, so if you get a wild exposure, you have can either mount a defense quicker, or you won't get as sick. Okay, honest to goodness, that's the theory behind it. However, knowing that vaccines do not trigger Th1 or a long-term immune system response, they trigger short-term inflammatory responses where there is no lifetime immunity. This is why the children are getting so many doses of the same pathogen. Now, by the time they're 18 years old, they've had 6 diphtheria shots, 6 tetanus shots, 6 pertussis shots, multiple measles, multiple influenza. There's no intelligence behind this. There's no appreciating the uniqueness of this. There's no, there's no common sense. I mean, just look at the one vaccine that they give at birth. The one vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine. Now, this is not given in other countries at 12 hours old. So in other countries, yes, there's humans in other countries. America is not the only one with humans. So if we look at Finland, if we look at all the other countries in the world that don't utilize the hepatitis B vaccine, do they have high rates of hepatitis? No, they don't. So why are we using it? Is the child at risk of hepatitis, which is a disease of IV drug users? It's a disease of people with extremely weakened immune system. Children are not at risk of hepatitis B. And what does it say on the package? Okay, according to the Journal of Autoimmunity, the causes or the effects of a hepatitis B. I know it's usually called side effects, but let's call it the causes and the effects. It says it can initiate multiple sclerosis, optic neuritis, vasculitis, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. Those are the effects. And let me tell you, folks, itis means inflammation. Yes, that's right. We're triggering a Th2 response, a known Th2 response, a known inflammatory response with every vaccine. It says it on the label that it's going to cause inflammatory diseases. The child is not at risk, but we're still doing this. Okay, it's time to say no. And parents are doing the research. Parents are looking at the data. They're starting to wake up to the fact that perhaps money is behind this. And yes, the vaccine companies that produce the vaccines are also responsible for doing the studies on the vaccines. The group of specialists and experts that are recommending these vaccines for the public, the majority of them, we're talking over 93% of the doctors and specialists on these boards, work or have intimate ties to the companies that produce the vaccines. The government, the U.S. government, makes money off of forced vaccines. Before 2010, they were not forcing medical professionals, nurses, and doctors to get vaccinated before they go to work. There's always been three exemptions that a parent could choose. You could choose religious exemptions in most states that just, you say that, no, my belief system is my child's body is made in the image and likeness of God, that my child has immune system that's divine in nature, and that I want to strengthen his immune system by doing things that God's gave us, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. Or you could take a medical exemption and say, you know, I've looked at the risk of hepatitis. I've looked at the risk of diarrhea. I've looked at the risk of pertussis. I looked at the risk of diphtheria. I've looked at the risk of polio. I've done my research, and my child is at more of a risk of damage from the vaccine than he is a risk of getting this virus or this pathogen. So I'm going to strengthen my child's immune system with healthy amounts of fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin K2. We're going to give him juicing and blending of fruits and vegetables to strengthen his immune system. No, I choose personal beliefs. I choose to decide on what's going to happen to my child. Or you can have a medical exemption and say, look, I'm looking at the toxic response of the adjuvants. I'm looking at the animal proteins that you grow. You got this right, man. You're injecting animal proteins. You cannot isolate a virus. We still, 2016 right now, you cannot isolate a virus. Viruses are well-organized molecular parasites. So you cannot isolate a virus. So what you do is you have to grow this virus in living tissue. This is why when you look at the ingredients of a vaccine, you will see monkey kidney tissue, dog kidney tissue, aborted human fetal cells, caterpillar larvae, chicken eggs. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just a growth medium for the influenza vaccine. That's right. You've got those different types of proteins that are injected into the child Wake up, America. By gosh, this is being injected into your kids. And there is no study. The vaccines are not held to the same standards that we would a medicine. There's no placebo-controlled long-term trials of comparing vaccinated with unvaccinated. None. In the 200 years of this barbaric procedure, none. We are going to go through each vaccine, each disease in our series, and we're going to be covering the risk of hepatitis, the risk of polio, the risk of pertussis, and the risk of the vaccine, so you can make an informed decision. But here's one more wake-up call. Your personal beliefs, your religious exemptions have been removed and are going to be removed in every state. You will be forced to medicate your child beyond your wishes. You will be forced to inject these toxic drugs without informed consent. Informed consent is being taken away. You are being forced to do this right now in California. We are also going to be covering how you can apply for a medical exemption, how you can do genetic testing on your child and utilize the stats and data out there to inform the medical doctor so that you can legally apply for a medical exemption so you can save your child. Realize that the inflammatory response that we're causing in our child is part of the absolute sickness and illness of our kids today. Take a stand now. Do the research. We, in this podcast series, are going to cover each vaccine, each risk of the vaccine, risk of the disease, and also what you can do to protect the health of your child so that we stop this disaster, we stop this car that's heading into a block wall, we stop the rates of autism increasing, because I'm telling you, by 2025, one in two children will have autism. 96% of autistic children grow up to adults that cannot work. That means that we're losing a very productive generation. This is a lost generation. It's time to stop this. The line is drawn here. Yes, that's Captain Picard. So we stop this now. Stay tuned for future podcasts. We are going to change the world and get the courage. Talk to your kids. Talk to your grandkids. Talk to parents. Talk to young couples. Have them do the research. Do not go along with the crowd. Do not inject 38 doses of drugs. Injectable drugs by the child is 18 months. Do not inject 49 doses of 14 different drugs by the age of 6. Let's take a lesson from other countries that do less of this and have less toxic effects on our kids. This is Dr. John Bergman. God bless you and thanks for listening.